and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Turn to somebody next to you and say, this is your day. That's right. We are in the house of God, where the power of God resides. We have an opportunity to just have Sunday as usual, or to actually step into the Holy of Holies. And our prayer is that you came ready to step into the very presence of God. Anytime the Israelites moved from the place that they were currently in, the tribe of Judah led ahead in praise. So anywhere that you need to go in your life and your situation and your circumstances, you lead with praise. So this morning we're going to work the praise, and it will take you exactly where it is that you need to go in victory and power and authority and freedom and healing and in all things. Glorious Heavenly Father, we worship you. You are the King of all kings. You and you alone are the Lord over all lords. Everything is beneath your feet and within your reach, Heavenly Father. We glorify you and honor you in this house. We work our praise, Father, which is our battle cry, our shout of victory, Lord. We honor you, not just for what you're doing, but for who you are in this place, in this moment of this day, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
It's an amazing morning, right? Thank you, Ms. Carla. I love you. It's an amazing morning, right? Because we're in the tabernacle of God, and we have the opportunity to be able to worship an amazing God, a God that has always been good to us, that has never failed us, and He will never leave us. So come on and sing this with me.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on and sing that out.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Hallelujah. Sing, Lord, you are good.
Good and your mercy endureth forever.
Sing, Lord, you are so good.
Come on and sing, people from every nation.
People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Sing, we worship
we
you
worship
for who you are.
Who you are.
Hey, come on and sing that again.
We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we for who you are.
Come on, let's sing His goodness.
You are good. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. Sing so good, yeah.
So good, so good.
Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are.
Come on, let's take it to the top. Sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and you're
come on, His goodness shall endure forever. Hallelujah.
You are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, if you know that God has been so good in your life, sing this out.
You are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Sing, Lord.
You are so good.
You are good.
Hey,
yeah.
And people from every nation, from generation,
come on.
We worship you.
We worship. Hallelujah.
Hey. See, we worship you for who you are. Isn't he good? Sing. You are good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Come on and sing it out. So good. So good. Yeah. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Come on, sing. You are good. You are good.
All the time. All the time. You are good.
You are good. All the time. And all the time. Come on, just the voices. Just the voices. Sing. You are good.
All the time.
And
all the time.
Sing. He is.
You are good.
Come on, y'all. You are good. From yesterday. Till forevermore. All the time,
you
yeah. Come on, y'all. You are good.
All the time. All the time.
You are good. You are good. All the time.
All the time.
All right, let's go, let's go, let's go. Sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good. Good at your mercy, enduring forever.
Sing, Lord, you are. Come on.
People from every nation,
from generation,
to generation,
we worship
you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We worship
you,
for who you are. Come on and sing, we worship you.
We worship you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship
for who you are.
Come on, sing, for who you are. Last time, sing, for who you are. Hey.
You are good.
Come on, give God a shout. Come on, give God a shout if you know he's good. Even in the midst of your troubles, even in the midst of your trials and tribulations, if you give God a shout, then things will happen. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. His blood still works. Come on, if you know that his blood still works, just lift your hands and just pray to him. Thank him for about 30 seconds. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. I know it might be early in the morning, but early in the morning shall I rise with joy on my heart, because I know that my God is a healer because of his blood. Hallelujah.
Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still, it flows from you. Jesus, some still don't know the blood that you shed, still it flows.
Come on and help me.
Jesus,
I love you so.
Your blood still, it flows from your throat.
Come on.
Jesus,
some still don't know
the blood that you shed, still it flows.
Come on and help me.
Your blood will never its power, power.
Your blood will never lose.
Hallelujah.
Power.
It will never lose. Come on and sing, yeah. Will never lose its
power.
Its power. It's wonderful power, yeah.
Power.
Come on,
Jesus, I.
Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still it flows from your throne. Jesus, some still don't know the blood that you shed still it flows.
Yeah.
Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still it flows from your throne.
Come on and sing this out.
Jesus, some still don't know the blood that you shed still it flows. Your blood will never lose its power, power. Your blood will never lose its power, power.
Come on and sing that out, sing that out. Precious blood will never lose. Your blood will never. Come on, y'all.
Your blood.
Sing your blood will.
Will never lose.
It will never lose. It will never forsake me. It has healed my body. It's made me whole. It's taken me out. It's closed the door. My finances are healed. Life. He let me live. I can live again. Even when I have no voice, I'll worship you. Because your blood will never lose.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
There's just one thing about the blood. It's the fact that it will never stop working on my behalf. It's the fact that I can wake up in the morning and be sure that one thing is on my side, and that's the blood of Jesus, because he died for me. When he was back in Calvary, he had my name written on the front of his eyes, because I am the apple of his eye, and I will never lose, because
your blood will never lose. Your blood will never lose. Your precious blood
will never lose.
Will never lose.
It cannot lose. Your blood
will never lose.
Hallelujah.
Your blood
it's resurrecting.
Will never lose.
It's faith filling. I'm fulfilled.
Will never lose.
I have purpose
your
in my life
blood
because of your
will
blood.
Never lose.
Your blood. Sing this out, you know it. Sing.
Your blood will never lose its power, power. Your blood will never lose its power.
Come on, just the voices. Power. This is worship. This is pure worship, Lord.
Your blood
hallelujah.
Will never
thank you for your blood, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your sacrifice of your blood, God.
Your blood.
All for me. All for me. Also, I might live. Also, I might live abundantly in heaven with you, God. Your blood will never lose. It will never lose. It will never stop working. It will never stop praying for me, because your blood was shed for me. Hallelujah. I have your blood running in mine. I have your blood running in mine so that I might live, so that I might be healed. Hallelujah. Your blood will never lose. It will never lose.
Hear a shout of praise if you're thankful.
blood of Jesus that washes away every single sin. Thank you, God. I thank you that when you look down on me, you don't see me, but you see the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. I just thank you for every breath that you put in my body, God. Every single moment that you've given me is a gift. No matter how many trials or tribulations we go through, you still gave us the gift of life, and I thank you for it. And we're going to praise you for that, God. Thank you for giving us that. Oh, we bless your name. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great.
Just want to tell you, Thank you for your anointing in this place, Jesus. Come on, just take a deep breath. Just breathe in the tangible presence of heaven this morning. God, we just thank you for the peace that passes all understanding, that overcomes us, overwhelms us. Lord, we thank you for your goodness today and your blood. We love you, Jesus. We know that in your presence there's fullness of joy. So God, right now we chase out the spirit of depression in the name of Jesus. We tell you have no place upon the children of God. But we thank you that we have been freed and free indeed. And Lord, today we have the blessings of God that are chasing us down. Lord, I'm reminded of your word that declared that every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. Lord, today we thank you for that goodness that's in us. Lord, we thank you that today you're healing people. As an individual here, I don't know how else to explain it, but there's a heat that goes from the middle of your head down just over your right eye, closest to your nose. There's a heat right there. God is healing you right now. I don't even know if you know what it's about, but God is healing you right now in the name of Jesus. It's also an individual, you love winter, but your circulation is so bad, your hands are so cold all the time. Now, I'm not talking the normal person that gets cold hands. I'm talking your circulation is so bad that they actually hurt. They're so cold all winter long. And the Lord said he's heard your prayer. And you know, he loves that you love the season he created. And so right now in the name of Jesus, I speak right now to the vascular system of this individual. And I command right now this lady's hands be made whole in the name of Christ. I command every vessel, every vein, God, I command every artery, Lord, I command every portion, Lord, circulation all the way to the heart level, God, be made whole so that her hands be warm this winter. She's going to have an amazing testimony of the goodness of God, and she's going to so enjoy the season that is her favorite. Father, we just thank you that today you care about every need. Lord, even the seasons we enjoy. Lord, and I thank you that today, Lord, some are carrying burdens. Lord, you said, cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. So today, we unload. We just put it all back on the cross. We say, Jesus, all things will work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to do. It doesn't matter how hot it gets. This we know, that Lord, if the enemy comes in one way, he's got to flee seven in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for complete victory. Not that we've won, but you already won for us. For we've been made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So Lord, today we just want to say, we love you, Jesus. And thank you for the goodness that you have in our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Isn't it good to know that God's for you, not against you? My goodness. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome five or six folks. Come on now, don't be a snob. Don't just sit right down. Go meet somebody you've never met before. I know that your personality might say, that's just not me. Come on now, go meet somebody you've never met before. Shake their hand, say, good morning. God is on your side. Come on now, don't be a snob. Turn around to somebody and say, I got still 1 minute and 30 seconds to be nice to somebody. Come on, turn around to somebody behind you and say, good morning. God is on my side. Come on now, the Bible says, if you want a friend, you got to be friendly.
Good morning, HT family. It is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
Hey family, we have one of our favorite evangelists coming this month, Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth. He's going to be here November 18th, right here at the Horseheads campus, 9-11 a.m. You're going to have these cards in your chairs. You want to make sure that you pray, that you invite, and that you bring those people that need Christ. On the back of this card, there's actually seven lines of names that you can put down here. Pray for them, but make sure you fill your row. Be here November 18th, 9-11, right here at Horseheads for Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth.
We've got four holiday events coming up in the last week of November. We're going to be doing the Elmira Holiday Parade, Holly Days, and Sparkle. Each of these are an event hosted by the community where we get to participate and share the love of God. We're going to be having special holiday sweatshirts. They're going to be green. And if you'd like to come and sign up and help serve our community, there's going to be a sign-up sheet at the Info Center. You can also email me at outreach@histabernacle.com or go to the website at www.histabernacle.com.
Family, big news. Groups are ending the end of November, which means you need to get into one as soon as possible. Last month, we had almost 200 people attending a group, which is amazing, but that still means there's a couple hundred of us not connected every week to the family of God. I want to encourage you, if you're a group host, throw your hand up real quick, nice and high so everybody can see you, and keep it up. If you see someone close to you and you're not a part of a group or you haven't been connected, maybe you haven't been going, I want to encourage you to find somebody and get signed up or come out to the front desk and we'd love to get you involved. We're going to be covering two amazing topics, and every single person should be in one so we can be connected as the family of God and we can grow together. Make sure you sign up. Have a phenomenal day.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How's everybody doing this morning? The Bible declares, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. Let's try that one more time. His Tabernacle Family Church, how y'all doing this morning? Yes, yes. It is a privilege and an honor to be in, I think, the best church in the world. I don't know about you guys. You guys think so? I think this is the best one here. You seem slightly offended. Let's try that one more time. Is this the best church in the world or what? Truly, though, we're so excited you could be here to worship with one another. I love every single Sunday being able to worship with each and every single one of you. But in addition to our family, we sometimes have guests that come to worship with us. So if this is your, if you are a guest here for the first time, can I just see you lift up your hand like this? Awesome. Can we please put our hands together for our guests? Amen. Thank you so much for coming to worship with us. If you did not receive a guest packet, can you please just keep your hand lifted up? We have our wonderful team coming around right now to give you a guest packet. Inside the packet, you find a gift from us, some information about our church, but most importantly, on this side of the building, my left, your right, directly after this service, we have a guest reception for you. We have some pastries, some donuts. You get to meet some of the people on staff. But most importantly, we want to just get to know you and to thank you for coming to worship with us today. So give it up one more time for our guest. Thank you so much. At the same time, keep on clapping for our live stream family. We love you guys. You guys tune in every single week faithfully. We love you guys so much. So at His Tabernacle, what are the three things that we do? All right, let's try that just one more time. At His Tabernacle, we, this entire month, the past 3 to 4 weeks, we've been really strong on saving souls. The sermons have been powerful. You've been taught how to give your testimony. Groups have exploded. People are being saved and healed in groups. This is definitely the time for us to ensure that we are loving. Okay, Pastor's coming up. I saw you on my peripheral.
39 people gave their hearts to Jesus from youth ministry to children's ministry in-house. Last week, 39 people accepted Jesus. Come on, don't let heaven outshout you. Come on, hallelujah.
I love my boss. We love souls, as y'all can see. Now, next week, we have a powerhouse coming into town. Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth, we are so excited. His heart is just like this church. He loves souls. So if you have a friend, if you have a family member, if you have someone that you may not particularly like, but you are more concerned about their eternity, if there is any Sunday for you to bring them, it is next Sunday, all right? So 9 a.m., 11 a.m., I encourage you to bring at least one person. Be praying for 5 people, but you physically bring one person to the house of the Lord next week and watch the releasing of the anointing begin to touch them and to transform their lives. Amen? So who's going to join me by bringing one person to church next week? All right, I love that. I love that. All right, let's have Pastor Rhonda up.
Hallelujah. Man, the presence of God never gets old. It just keeps getting better and better and better. No, that's not a word, Pastor. Sorry. I just love the presence of God. I'm in awe of Him every single day. We get to hear wonderful testimonies of miracles and the great things that God has done. And as we're entering into this time of tithes and offerings and giving, this is one of my favorite times because you know what? Money is our entire lives. As much as we don't like to talk about it in church, outside of church, your life revolves around making money, spending money, paying bills. And God gives us everything that we need to prosper in His word. He actually says He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His children. So this is why I get excited about this time of giving. And we get to share an awesome financial testimony with you this morning. This is Jen and Matt Larson.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. We just want to thank you in advance for allowing us the time to share our phenomenal testimony. God has done such a mighty work in our lives. I have been attending His Tabernacle going on 8 years, and Matt joined us in the 5th year. The only issue was, which became a big season for us, is that we lived an hour away from church and faithfully came more than just on Sundays. Early on in our journey at His Tabernacle, we learned that tithing is imperative to our lives, imperative. And we never, ever lacked there. And God has always covered and protected us because of it. But see, we knew that we were connected to this church and we had a heart to move closer. And God cares about everything. He takes pleasure in delighting in His children. And so we began to pray that God would bring us closer to his tabernacle so we could be closer to our family and our church and the vision here that they have. But 8 years was a long time to wait. And there were many times when we took control and became our own God through this. Now, see, we had two houses that needed to be taken care of before we moved. One in Colorado, where my husband is originally from, and then our home in Wyalusing, Pennsylvania, which is 1 hour and 5 minutes from here. So there were a lot of times that we did not want to come. When it got snowy out, we did not want to, but we understood that it was important to be in the house of God to honor him. And he always, always covered us. There was never a time when we did not make it here safely and we were not covered financially, physically, spiritually, because where you go to at church is so important to your connection of your life, and the people you surround yourself with is imperative to your walk with God. And his tabernacle is a phenomenal place for that. And we understood that this is good ground. And we wanted to be closer. So we put on our faith wall this year that we were going to sell both houses and we were going to move. And boy, did God show up. Not only did he sell both of our houses, but during this time, he really spoke to us and said, if you want to see mountains move, you need to start seeding above your tithe, and you need to start fasting. And we would fast corporately with the church at the beginning of the year, but man, has God unlocked doors because of the fasting we have done amongst each other outside of the corporate body. And I know somebody special that told me that increased obedience yields accelerated harvest. And here we are standing today in our dream home, specific to how big we wanted our kitchen, how big we wanted our bathroom, how much property we wanted, that we wanted to be out in the country, but still close to everything. It now takes us only 20 minutes to church. 8 years, people. And sometimes we got weary. And this has been a huge learning curve in our faith with God, but it has built such a powerful relationship with him that trusting in his timing versus ours is completely different. And when you take your eyes off of God and you start to do it in your own, it doesn't ever work. So we continue to be faithful to tithe and to seed and to fast, and we are living in our harvest. And not only that, but we were able to start a group that people were praying for. So not only did God answer our prayers, but he answered the Vinette and area prayers, and there's our harvest right there. So we just thank HT for the teaching of how important the tithe is to the Lord, because he definitely takes care of you. Amen. So we just want to thank you all.
Amen.
Thank you. It's so awesome when we put our finances in the kingdom. I do not want to deal with my finances without the blessing of God upon them. But when the blessing of God is upon our finances, we cannot fail. He will cause prosperity. So if you're ready to give in this house, stand to your feet. Pastor would like me to explain to the guests what we do. So in this house, we declare a supernatural declaration that is simply the word of God. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And if you would repeat it after me as we speak over our finances and our giving this morning, I want you to have faith that God is going to prosper you. So it says, if I obey, chase me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a hands to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Praise the Lord. How many of you love the Lord this morning? This is the year of... Come on, tell somebody else. This is the year of divine connections. How many of you have had a divine connection this year that transformed your whole life? Now, if you got saved, you got a reason to shout, amen. You have the greatest divine connection of all. You have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, what's that, love? We do have some more. It's Veterans Day. I am honoring veterans because I love them, but I just love to preach too. Could we have all the veterans in the house please stand to your feet? Look at them all. Come on, I know there are more. Amen. Come on, give them a hand clap. Thank God for them. You were a drill sergeant, weren't you? No. Were you mean to people in the armed forces? Yes. Isn't it great to know we have freedom this morning? Oh, don't sit down. We want to honor you. Please stand to your feet. And actually, if we could all stand to our feet, we want to sing God Bless America. How many of you love America? You know something? A lot of times right now, this is not a political church in any way, shape, or form. We always stay away from politics. But you know, I don't care what political viewpoint you have, we live in the greatest country in the entire world. Amen? You are participating in that. Well, we have the right to stand here and worship Jesus and not have to worry about being arrested or thrown in prison. And I thank God for all the veterans. You have given your lives. You put your lives up. You went in harm's way so that we could have. And many of you have relatives that died. To make sure that we have the right to stand here today and to worship our God. So we honor our veterans, and we'd love to sing this song together. God bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to
to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Amen. Can we remain standing? Let's pray for those that today are in harm's way. We have a good amount of men and women from this house that today are not home, but they're serving. We also have civil people. They're working as police officers and EMTs and working in ambulances, and they're working as doctors. They're all serving our community. And we thank God for all the guards. You know, we have so many guards in this church, and I just want to thank you for serving and making it so that we can live in a free nation. Can we pray for them together? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all of these men and women, Lord, who place their life on the line to serve people. God, it's your heart to be a servant. And Lord, so I thank you, and we just speak blessing over them and protection. Lord, over the men and women that are overseas, that are in harm's way, we pray, Father, that your angels will protect them and surround them, and that, God, you will visit them. Lord, by your Spirit, you will speak. Lord, there are many young men and women that have known you as their Savior that even in the midst of that trial and tribulation have turned away. Lord, restore them. Speak to them today. Protect them, God. And Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name that you will remind us to be grateful of those who have paid the ultimate cost that we can have the freedom we have today in America. In Jesus' name. Lord, we also pray for our government. Lord, we know you're coming someday. Lord, we know that there is a divine setup, Lord, to bring. And we know that, Lord, whether anybody likes it or not, that, Lord, there will be an Antichrist. There will be a one world government. There will be all these things. Lord, we know, Jesus, that the trumpet of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We pray, God, that during that time we'll be harvesters of souls. Lord, in this time we pray for our government. We pray, God, for the governments of this world. And Lord, thank you, God, for one thing, that we still have time to see people saved. So Lord, use us during this window of history in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn to someone and say, I thank God for America. Amen. You may be seated. I love the Word of God. How many of you love the Word of God? Amen. You know, some people go to church just to go to church. You know what they say statistically is that 20% of the people that go to church actually want to be there. That's encouraging, huh? That there are over 50% of the people that are okay with being there, but they're just there. And then there are actually over 20% that don't want to be there at all. Somebody dragged them and made them be here. If that's you, I'm glad you're here. Turn to somebody and say, I'm not sure which one you are, but I'm glad you're here.
Carrie, I'm not sure which one you are.
Amen.
No, I'm sure.
You see, we live in the greatest time in the history of the church. We've just finished the series called The Watchman on the Wall. Turn to someone and say, I'm the watchman. That's right. You and I are the ones that carry the responsibility of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe that everybody in this room should personally lead one soul to Jesus a year. I believe that personally, every person in this room and watching by live stream should lead one person to Jesus a year. I believe that every person in this room watching by live stream and watching by television should lead at least one person to Jesus a year. Yeah. We're getting close. I believe that every person in this room watching by live stream and watching by television should lead at least one person to Jesus a year. Yeah. We're really close. I believe that every person in this room, everyone watching by live stream and everyone watching by television should lead at least one soul to Jesus a year. I think we're all right now. Isn't it so powerfully important to recognize that people, if you and I don't get this, people are not going to go to heaven because of us. You know, this is the powerful part of the gospel, is that God does not have a plan B. We are it. I say God does not have a plan B. We are it. So if the church loses its purpose and its call to be watchmen, then there's no way for this world to know. For blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. Turn to someone and say, you got nice feet. Hallelujah. Today we want to start a series on being a disciple. And we're actually terminating it marked. Turn to someone and say, you've been marked. That's right. You've been marked. We're all disciples of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But salvation is just the beginning part. Discipleship is actually the process to where we grow up in Christ. It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to grow up. It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to grow up. Amen. God has called us to grow up. Can you be nice to the person next to you and tell them you need to grow up? I said be nice. We've all been called not only to be disciples, but to create disciples. You see, this is why this series is so important, because it's not just you and I being disciples, but God has called us to create disciples. So if we don't know how to be a disciple, how can we create a disciple? Therefore, we must know the earmarks. We must know what marks a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't live being a disciple, you can't disciple somebody else. Can I hear an amen? See, and this is why God has called us not only to be watchmen, but to be people that are disciples and disciplers. Every one of us who lead that person to Jesus by the end of this year, I believe that everybody in this congregation watching my live stream and watching my television should lead at least one person to Jesus Christ a year. But it's not just that. The next step is discipling them. Making sure that they don't just start the race, but they finish the race. It's one thing to start. It's a whole different thing to finish. Can I hear an amen or oh my? God has not just called us to start. He's called us to finish. Turn to someone and say, you got to be a finisher. Amen. What is a disciple? It's a student, a pupil. It's an individual that's an apprentice, that's being trained and being developed. You know, the Bible says very clearly in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, it says this: not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's encouraging. Here it is. Only those. Now, one thing is, religion teaches you that if you say a little prayerette, you say it at the right time, you say it right, you're going to heaven. Now, I want you to know that there is absolute security in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is a relationship and not a religious momentum. That this is not about us saying a little special magical prayer. This is about us building a relationship with Jesus Christ. That we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, not being afraid of God, but we recognize that this is not just how you start, but how you, tell somebody you got up. So as a believer, only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. So there are a lot of folks, in fact, over 80% of America say they're Christians. No, it's true. Majority of people in America say they're going to heaven because they're a good person. They do nice things. They're genuine. They're sincere. They're good people. But I want you to know that that does not get you to heaven. One of the worst things that a preacher can do is stand up and say something that makes you happy, just and it's a lie. I believe the truth shall make you free. I'm not here to pet and to please everybody. We're here to give the truth, because the truth empowers you to live successfully. Amen? How many of you want to live successfully for Jesus? How many of you just want to be successful? How many want to be a failure? There's a few. Nobody wants to be a failure. So success comes through understanding. So God wants us to understand that if you're not a true disciple, you're not going to heaven, no matter how many times you've said that prayer. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, performed many miracles in your name. But I reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. So there are many that will actually be miracle. I mean, there'll be somebody that will lay hands on somebody and they'll get healed, but they're not going to heaven. There'll be those who will cast out devils, but they won't go to heaven. There are preachers who stand behind pulpits that will not go to heaven. It's important for us to recognize this, because if not, then we rely upon something that is not valid or true. Lord, Lord, many will say, Lord, Lord, what is the Lord? Listen, the true mark of a disciple is we recognize Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our King. That, listen, it's important. I don't know why I just said listen twice, but listen. When you got saved, you became a dual citizen. The citizen of this world that you already were. But the moment you got saved, you became the citizen of the kingdom of God. At that moment, our allegiance goes towards our King, our Lord, the one who is the master of all. One of the words for Lord in the Greek is Adonai, Hebrew, which actually says as owner. See, God is the owner of all things, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Can I hear an amen? You see, everything that is on this earth is God's, but those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. But one of the marks of being a disciple is not just confessing the Lord, but also living for the Lord. Amen. How many of you have seen somebody that lived wrong and you said, I don't want to be a hypocrite like them? Boy, it did get quiet in here, didn't it? I was going to just say something Brother Ted would have said. Silent night, holy night. It's important that we learn how to be, as pupils, as people in school, how to truly live for Christ. And one of the main principles is that God is our Lord now. That it's not just about you and I. We got saved, now we joined a church, and everything is good. By the way, you can't join this church. We don't have a membership. You see, we did that so that you can't ever say, well, I'm a member of so-and-so. Being a member of a so-and-so church doesn't get you to heaven. Can I hear an amen? Only through the blood of Jesus Christ can you be saved. Only through Jesus Christ will you go to heaven. And after you've been saved, then you gotta live saved. You see, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything you got. Oh. We have a skit for you. SWAT.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. Nice to meet you too. So it's really exciting to have you on our team. We reviewed your application and we think that you would be an excellent employee here at our company.
Thank you so much. I'm extremely excited to add value to your team, and I know so much about your company and people that enjoy working here.
Yeah, you know, all of my employees really, really enjoy the benefits of working for my company. So we'd love to have you on the team. Now, did you review the handbook that we sent you?
I did. I love it. Especially under the benefits portion, where it says we all will be able to experience eternal life, abundant life, health, and healing.
Yeah, those are really, really awesome benefits for my company. So you looked over the lordship portion of it, correct?
Well, I have part of my own handbook that I would like to talk to you about. Maybe you could look at that.
Oh, would you look at that?
I
you
like
brought your
the,
own handbook.
I did.
To my company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you see, I like the benefits portion of your company, but I like the lordship part of my own.
Hmm. So you kind of just took my benefits and your lordship and kind of just made your own thing?
I did.
Okay.
You see, I'm happier following my own handbook. You know, I think I'm going to go back to my own job where I was the manager.
Wow. Well, let's see what your handbook says. Be nice to everyone always. Well, that's cute. Let's see. Number 4, read the word when I feel like it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but your lordship portion of this is not going to get you to my benefits of my company.
But I liked managing my own company where I was in control of everything. And everyone told me it was a great job.
Well, I'm sure they did. But you see, on your application that you voluntarily filled out, you said, I have seen the benefits that your employees receive on a regular basis, and I'm not receiving those managing my own company, end quote.
Yeah, well, your responsibilities are just too much. I think I'd rather go back. It wasn't that bad. In fact, I'll just take this and go.
Okay.
Sorry for the confusion. Thank you for your time.
As long as you understand that you cannot receive my benefits under your own lordship.
Okay.
I can't force you to work here.
Have a nice day.
Have a good day.
Ooh. It's interesting, isn't it? Isn't that many of our lives? We're okay with the benefit package. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all of our sins and heals every disease. We love the benefit package of heaven, but we don't like the lordship part. So we want the benefits of heaven, but we don't want to do what heaven requires to receive them. And then we get mad at God when something don't work our way. We're good with God as long as we get his benefit package without him requiring anything from us. But you see, that doesn't work in any facet of this world. It doesn't work in your family. It doesn't work on your job. It doesn't work on the roads while you're driving. Can I hear an amen? How many here have ever had a ticket? How many here have had one? How many have been pulled over and got a speeding ticket before? Wow, you're all bad. I've been pulled over twice. Pastor Daniel Dykes, Katie, how many have been pulled over 3 times? Pastor Daniel Dykes. Oh my goodness, Brother Ed. How many of you had to pay the ticket? How many of you paid the surcharge for 3 years? How many had a bad insurance bid after that? How many wish you didn't speed? See, you want the benefits of a good, low insurance policy. You want the benefit of not getting the ticket and paying the costs, but you don't want to obey the lordship of the road. See, this principle doesn't work anywhere but in church. No, I didn't say in the kingdom of God, I said in church. You know there's a difference, right? A lot of folks go to church because they want to feel good, and they say their prayerette, and they do their little thing, and everything is nice, and they're still the manager of their own life, but they're mad or want God to give them his benefit package. But the truth is, you don't get God's benefit package unless you're going to stay in his country. I want to remind you that we're part of a different company. We're part of a different country. We have a different king. So you don't get the benefits of the country unless you are a citizen of that country. See, all of us have got to come to this realization that discipleship is one of the great, in fact, God told us very clearly in Matthew 28, make disciples of all nations. That's what we're called to do. But we can't make disciples if we're not disciples. You know, this is that big thing that's happening in the church world today where the average person only goes to church one every 3 weeks. And if they do go to church, they're not involved really with what's happening at church. There's a need for us to recognize that this is not about participating with a club. This is about us being part of a kingdom and not the kingdom of this earth, but the kingdom of our God. Can I hear an amen? And in that, to have the benefits of the kingdom, we have to follow the kingdom's laws. Amen. Amen. If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Amen. If you're living in sin, you're not going to heaven. If you're a liar, you're going to the same hell as a murderer. We have created our own book. We don't have the right to write our own Bible. And in that, God says, listen, you got to know something about the kingdom. God's kingdom, he wants to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. But he can't bless you if you're not going to allow him to be the Lord. Come on, you know what I mean. It's a lot like, have you ever wanted to take your kids somewhere to bless them? You know, let's just say you wanted to take your toddler to the ice cream store down the road. But the child is watching something on iPad. So you tell them, put the iPad down. We're going to go down to the store. Well, it wasn't a suggestion. You just told the child what to do. Amen. Can I hear an amen? You told the child what to do. The child didn't tell you what to do. So you grab your toddler by the hand, and they start throwing a temper tantrum. All the way down the front steps, halfway down the block. They finally just drop to the ground and you're dragging them. You're realizing that, I don't think we're going to the ice cream store. And I know they're not watching any more YouTube today. Can I hear an amen or am I? The amazing part was, as the parent, your whole goal was to be a blessing. Your whole goal was to bring something to their life that you knew they would enjoy. But because they did not obey the Lord, the one who was the responsible person over them, they decided to steal from themselves their own reward, their own blessing, and probably be mad at mom and dad. See, this is the problem in the body of Christ that we've got to realign, because to be a true disciple means that you're going to follow Jesus and obey his word. How many of you know somebody that went to school and you went to school with them? So you went to high school with them and they were not going to learn anything. They sat in the back of the class. It's not that they were dumb. They just chose not to learn. They chose not to listen. They chose not to do their homework. They were left back a few years. Are you like making a confession in the Lord Jesus Christ? No, no. I mean, you were in this position where you know that individual and you watch them. Man, there was no way they could do arithmetic when they got to the grade that they needed to learn algebra, because they chose not to learn. Again, not because they couldn't, but they chose not to. All of a sudden, it's time to get into the real world, and they don't even have anything they need. They're not prepared to be able to step into what they could have as success. It's amazing to me how many people live substandard, not because that's the plan of God, not that that's because of the plan that's for their life, but they choose substandard because they choose not to obey the Lord. What's that statement, Pastor Andrea? Increased obedience yields accelerated harvest. How many people have no harvest because you do no obedience? See, the whole thing is recognizing the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's not a suggestion that he's your Lord. It is a command that he's your Lord. That's why some will say, Lord, Lord, did we not do? They participated, but never made him their Lord. They never truly became a pupil of God. We've slid into a mode nowadays where people don't do devotions, where people, they go to church, like I said, one every 3 weeks. To get people to come to church twice a week is really difficult. So the churches nowadays are actually trying to form ideas, I'm talking all over the United States, form ideas how to get people to start being discipled. We're having to conjure new ideas how to create discipleship within the body of Christ. But you see, in my spirit, I know something's different. Now, it's not that we're not trying the same things, because we love you. We want you to accelerate in the things of God. We want you to be people of great success because God has that for you. But what I've really learned is that those who truly want God respond without asking. That is true. I believe many of us have lost our passion for God. We have our passion for this, we have our passion for that, but our passion for the Lord, we're good with God as God, good with God as going to heaven, good with God as make sure I'm blessed, but if he asks us to do anything, hey, excuse me, I run my own life. And really, this is the problem with the American church at large. We have a lot of folks that want the benefits, but don't want God as king. And the challenge with that is, we can use all of our excuses. And listen, God will use anybody. Okay, I got to do it. I got to. God will use anybody. God even used an ass. The donkey talked. God will even use an ass. But it doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Making Christ your Lord is so powerful because it is freeing. What you'll learn real quickly is that the more he is your king, the more he is your Lord, the more freedom, the more liberty, the more joy you have, that even in the midst of the trial, you can come out without smelling like smoke. Can I hear an amen? That when you are leaning upon the everlasting arms of God, it's not about God controlling you or oppressing you. It's about him truly releasing you to be who you've called to be. It's so powerful to allow God to be your Lord, and it is so rewarding to allow God to be your Lord. It is not oppressive, it is freedom. Yet we don't want to give up this. If I give this up, will I lose every? No. Listen, if you are going to give something up, God is going to give you something better. If you're going to give up some sin and some lifestyle and obey God, as charging as that is, as difficult as that might be, I want you to know the moment that you respond to God as king, blessings will overtake you. It's the nature of our God. It's the nature of our king. He wants you blessed and not cursed. You know, every king is evaluated. You know that, right? Every kingdom is evaluated. The greatest way to evaluate the kingdom is what the kingdom looks like through the people. People that truly make the king over their life. It is his job, his obligation to protect you. We have an Air Force. We have the Marines. We have the Army. We have the Navy. We have the CBs, we have the National Guard, we can go on, and then we have civil, we have state police, we have national police, we can go through all of the different things that we have in order. We have them in order and we submit to them. Why? Because they provide for us a protection that we couldn't have outside of ourselves. If God is for you, who can be against you? With God on your side, you cannot fail. With God in your corner, come on now. You can call those things which are not as though they already are. It's a different world to allow God to be your Lord because you're sitting back and you're saying, thank you, Jesus. Man, I know, Lord, that this looks impossible, but there's nothing impossible with you. If I can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, I shall have what I ask because my God is good and not bad. It's his job to make sure that you're led, for these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. He protects you from harm. He protects you from bad choices. He protects you from saying the wrong thing. He leads you into, come on now, he leads you into the green fields. He leads you into blessing and not cursing. You see, the king's job and the evaluation that he has is how blessed are the people that are subject to him. And man, the very essence is how blessed financially and with wealth are the people that he is over. You see, God wants you blessed and not cursed. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He said, man, if you sow, you shall reap. If you sow sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. For God gives seed to the sower. You see, God, the king, says this: if you will let me be your Lord, you will live in blessing that you have never, ever thought was even possible in your life. The very testimony that's up here today, selling their houses, stepping into their dream home, doing ministry. Listen, that's not just for them. God don't love them more than he loves you. God's no respecter of persons. But you see, God, the Lord, asked them to do something. He said, don't just fast twice a year. I'm calling you to personal fast. Now, how many of you know fasting is somewhat of a challenge? But because they obeyed the Lord, God gave them the desires of their heart. Some of you sitting back and saying, I don't know where God is. No, God's saying, no, where are you? Remember the question, who do men say that I am? Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're Elijah. No. Who do you say I am? See, who you say he is determines your receptivity from what he has. When you understand to submit to the king is the greatest freeing opportunity of your entire being on this planet that is so, so short. That your eternity is settled. Come on now, can I hear an amen? You don't have to wonder, am I going to heaven? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you've got a relationship with God, and God is your Father. Can I hear an amen? Jesus is your elder brother, and the Holy Ghost dwells inside of you. You know you're going to heaven. Man, I love what Paul said. You know, if I die, that's a benefit for me. But if I stay here, that's a benefit for you. So I want to be a blessing to you. Man, God wants you to know that there's healing for your body. By his stripes, you were healed. That is a covenant right of the child of God. You see, as part as him being truly Lord over your life, your physical body must respond to the word and the name of Jesus Christ because your body is not your own. It is the Lord's. And God wants you to prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. God wants you blessed financially. He doesn't want you hand to fist. He doesn't want you just making it by. He wants you to have more than enough so that you could give to every need. That's Corinthians, by the way. Every need that presents itself to you. You see, God has great plans for your life, but there's a way to release the blessing and there's a way to resist the blessing. And it comes down to this principle. If God is your Lord, then you get the kingdom's benefit package. If you are your Lord, good luck. Why? Because if you were really a good Lord, you'd have fixed all the problems in America already. Let's get real. If you were really good, Lord, if you really knew what you were doing, you'd fix your whole life. You're still a mess. no matter what kind of clothes you wear. A mess in your head, a mess in your heart, a mess in your family, a mess in your life. Listen, if man could fix it, then it had already been fixed. But this is why God sent Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of our life. Why? So that we could enter into a kingdom. We've tried every other kingdom. We've tried every other type of government on this planet. But what we left, come on now, what we left as a theocracy was what truly damned the world. You see, it's time to get back to God is our Lord. He's not just my Savior, but God is my Lord. And if my Lord requires something of me, I will give it. If the Lord requires me to do something, I will respond. If the Lord tells me in his word, I will obey. You see, when we come to that place, we open the windows of heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I think every intelligent individual wants God's blessing on their life and not cursing. Amen. Amen. But there's a way to get that, and it's not to live your way, it's the way of the way to live his way. Nobody's going to come to your company and hand you their managerial work packet and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to do what I want in your company, but you're going to give me all your benefits. But we expect that from God because we haven't made him our Lord. We've made him our Savior, but not our Lord. The true step of a disciple is that you've stepped forward from salvation as Savior into lifestyle of Lord. We make a lot of choices in life. We make them every day. But are they the Lord's choice for our life, or are they our choice for our life? The blessings of God will chase you down and trip you up when they are his choice. But when they're our choice is when we deal with serious trial and tribulation that many of us, it has nothing to do with Satan. We want to blame the devil a lot, but it really doesn't have anything to do with the devil. We've just made the decision we're going to do our thing, and then we wonder where God is in doing his. See, the true step, the true mark of a disciple is that you've made God your Lord and not just your Savior. So who do men say that he is? The better question is, who do you say he is? Is he your Lord today? If God asked you to do something today that would be uncomfortable to you, would you obey him? If God tells you to do something in his word that is very clear that you are doing wrongly, even if it makes you uncomfortable, will you respond to him? Or is it more of, I'm doing it my way, God, but I went to church today? Well, the devil goes to church too. It doesn't make him saved. Now, you need to know, and I'm going to end with this, is I'm not saying this as a preacher that this doesn't apply to me. Let me tell you something. This applies to me absolutely. Being a preacher doesn't get you to heaven. In fact, it causes more issues. There are a lot of preachers that aren't going to heaven. They stopped loving God. They started having a job. God stopped being their Lord. And he just worked for the church. I have to keep myself in check just like you do. And let's be honest, we all have some things that kind of trip us up more than others. Everybody else is a liar, you're all going to hell. We all have that sin, the Bible says in Romans, that so easily besets us. That we constantly have to bring into alignment and say, no, I've made God my Lord, not you. And when you start doing that, you start having victory in your life. Now, I've never met a person that doesn't want victory. But you don't get victory your way. You get it God's way. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I want to ask you a very serious question that, listen, honestly, this is really completely between you and Jesus. The word of God declares, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross daily, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living and, if need be, even in suffering and maybe even dying. Is he your Lord? Or is he just your Savior? Or maybe this morning he's neither. You came to church today and you're sitting there and you're saying, I feel God drawing me. I know God. I know I want salvation. I don't really even understand everything about it. But I know I want God. I know I want salvation. I know I want God's blessing. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm going to heaven. Today it's your day. Today is your day. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you just slide your hand up this morning, I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone this morning that wants Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior in their life? Raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. Thank you, ma'am. You can put it right back down. 5, 4. Is there anyone else? Thank you, sir. Anyone else? 3. Come on. Thank you. 2. Last call. Thank you. Here it is. Come on, get your hand up quick. I'm going to say 1. 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. You see, today, God doesn't want cursing. God doesn't want you not blessed. God wants the best for you. Turn to someone and say, God wants the best for you. Tell somebody else, God's got forgiveness for you. God's got healing for you. God's got prosperity for you. That's right. That's what God has for you. The question is he your Lord? Will you get the benefits? Or is he just your Savior? You're just pacifying him so you don't go to hell. I challenge you today to make him your Lord. You will never regret it. You won't. You really won't. It might be a hard step because it's something you've never done before. But when you make him your Lord, baby, it is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. If you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to be brave. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar, please. I'm going to ask you to be brave. Already, she's already up front. Glory to God. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to come right out of your chair. Come meet me right up front, right over here. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Jesus is shouting already for them. Don't let Jesus outshout you. Come on over here, baby. Come on over here. I'm so proud of you. Proud of you, man. Proud of you. Proud of you, baby girl. Heaven is throwing a party right now. The Bible says, when one person comes to the Lord, all of heaven breaks into a party. Isn't that cool? They're having a party in heaven just for you. Glory to God. Today, if you've not made Jesus your Lord and you want to make him your Lord, I'm not saying you haven't had him as Savior, but you want to go to the next step, I want you to bow your head and pray with me right now. Say this right out loud. Dear Jesus, I'm making a conscious decision today. I want to serve you. I don't want just your benefits. I want you to be my king. I don't want to live like all the rest of the people. I want to live like your child. And in the house of God, every benefit, every blessing, all power, all authority, all mercy, all grace is available for me. And I receive it right now in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Come on, make sure you lead at least one person to Jesus this week. Make sure this week, come on now, don't forget, Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth is going to be here. Make sure you bring at least one soul that needs Jesus.